I'd rather have Jesus than anything this old world affords today. Would you ask the blessing?
Father, we thank you for your great love, Lord. Ilasanda la mahanda. You said in your word, Lord, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine unto them. Lord, we thank you for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Thy word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path, Lord God. Help us, Lord God, to pray and not faint, Lord. We're living in the end time. You're coming is soon, Lord. You're coming after people that's looking for you. You're coming after people, Lord God, Yalakita la bahanda, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. Have your way today, Lord. Move in this service, Lord God. Meet every need that's present. Bless Pastor Venable. Strengthen him. Comfort, lead, and guide, and direct him. Bless his wife. Heal her, Lord. Let the divine will be done, Lord. We thank you for victory. Thank you, Lord God, for meeting every need this present, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ and for the glory of God. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Are you ready to worship the Lord today? Let's give him the praise and honor that is due him. Wow. Take a little time. What a coinkadink, right? He didn't know what I was going to say. That's Popeye talk. Just to qualify, coincidence. No, it's not a coincidence. God is here, and he's leading this service. And I'm kind of waiting on him to see what I'm going to preach today. I got about 1,000 sermons in mind. Glory to your name. God is great, greatly to be praised. Great is his faithfulness. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You know what revival means? It means It means more than just a series of meetings. It's come to mean that. It's got to be more than a series of meetings with maybe a special music and a special preacher that we're not used to and accustomed to that may have more impact for a week or two. In fact, you don't hear of a two-week revival. It's usually 5 days or 7 days at the most because we just don't seem to have time to seek the Lord until he come and rain righteousness upon us. Amen. So we're pressed for time, so we have to get that done in a timely fashion. Revival never comes in our time to where we fit it into our busy schedule. It's when we take time. The Bible said to seek the Lord until he come, not until we're done. Amen. To seek him until he come and rain righteousness upon us. Amen. There's something about seeking God that makes you want to be real with him. And if you're not right, to get right with him. And it's not a bunch of sinners coming off the street because we've been praying that God would send revival and save people. They're not going to just come rushing in here. I haven't seen them yet. I've been praying for that for a long time. Amen. I wave at them on that walking down the street and they'd amen. Rarely get a wave back. And some people, I don't know. I don't know if they should come in or not until they're ready to get saved. Amen. But God is so good. We're welcome to come in. Real revival is the breathing of life into a body that threatens to become a corpse. Breathing life into, that's, you revive someone. How many know how to give CPR? Amen. Have you ever had I worked for Tampa Electric for many years. We, electric shock will put your heart, young man's heart will go into fibrillation and you have to get it started again. And we had to learn how to hit the chest, to shock the heart, probably break the breastbone. I mean, this is serious business. If it's threatening to die, you want to get it started again. Amen. So we knew how to do that. I was part of making a safety film where a man got in, suppose he was up where the wires were, and I'm down on the ground, and I see him fall into the bucket, and I went and overrode his controls, brought him down to the ground, grabbed him, and I'm little, but I was strong back in the day, grabbed him and pulled him up onto the bucket, pulled him off onto the ground, and I feigned, I didn't give him mouth-to-mouth, I did bounce him on the chest, feigned breathing into him. Amen. Breathing for him, in essence, to revive him until medical help could come. And you didn't know I was a movie star, did you? You had no idea. No one asked me to sign autographs, but they did say, "Didn't I see you in a film?" I said, "You sure did." Amen. And it was to save a life. How to save a life of someone who would have died without immediate, not waiting for an ambulance, not waiting for fire rescue, but an immediate. We need a sense of urgency about revival. It's not something we can schedule into all of our church festivities. There's a lot of festivities going on today. Revival isn't one of them. If you have one at all, it's not a real revival, because it starts, it stops on time, and business as usual after it's over. Real revival, there's no business as usual, because it just don't get over. Thank you for the holy murmurs. I said it doesn't end if it's a true revival. It's an ongoing thing. We can stop it by not continuing to take time to pray, continuing to assemble together, continue to seek the Lord until he come and rain righteousness on us. Praise God. So if anybody falls out here today, I know how to give you CPR. How many other people know how to give it? Amen. You could give CPR. What if I fall out? Is anybody going to? Okay. Brother Taylor said, "I won't give you CPR, but I will pray that somebody will take care of it." That's just as good, brother, and I'll receive it. I love the Lord today. Do you love him today? You want a revival today? Amen. Well, God has changed my message. I study to show myself approved. I've got a suitcase. Well, it's not quite a suitcase, but I got a bunch of stuff in there. But there's a bunch of stuff in here, too. And I know what the Lord wants us to minister today. You saw me thumbing through my Bible. Sometimes I do that. Most times I do that. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let's sing about it. Praise God. You may be seated for just a little while today. I was telling you earlier about, I meet with preachers. I have been for about 15 years, probably going on the 16th year. I started a table myself in association with a pastor's organization from all different denominations. That's quite a thing. And I was telling them to pray for me. We pray for one another. We open up and ask each other to pray for our weak points, our areas where we're vulnerable, and times when we're exhausted, and times when we are hurting like anyone else, and we need help. And so we pray for one another. As the scriptures tell us, confess your faults to one another. Amen. Confess your sins. And it's in the context of faults to one another. And so we pray for each other. And in that time of prayer, I was enumerating all the responsibilities that I have that come with aging, that come with pastoring, that come with people who need help in my family. My dad, I was a caregiver to my dad. And I want to fist bump you right now, because you was a caregiver to your mama all of those years. God's going to reward you for that. Amen. I know what it is to be a caregiver. With Pamela, I was a caregiver to my mother, led her to the Lord, prayed for her for years and years and years and years, and no response. But one day in the nursing home, I went to visit her, walked in, and I prayed before I went in. I said, "Lord, don't let my mama go out of this world without knowing you as her personal Savior." Amen. So I walked in the room. I'll tell you, time for prayer. Taking time when you don't feel like praying, taking time when it feels like prayer is doing no good, is time well spent. Time well spent. So I walked into the room, and she said, "Bobby." Now, she had dementia. She didn't have Alzheimer's. She knew who I was, didn't know a lot of other things, but she knew who I was. And she said, "Bobby, so good to see you." I said, "It's good to see you, Mom." And she looked at me very serious, and she said, "Bobby, don't you think it's about time that I came to the Lord. And I said, Mom, after I jumped and shouted and ran around the building three times, amen, I didn't do that. But I was so glad to hear finally she wanted to come to Christ and to know Him as her Savior. And it was my privilege to pray with her to receive Jesus as her Savior, repent of her sins. So I know my mom is with the Lord today. I witnessed that event in her life. What a privilege it was. So, redeeming the time. Now, let me read this scripture or we won't get it read. I mean, what revival in your personal life? I want revival if nobody else gets revived. I'd like to make it. I want to survive. I don't want to survive. I want to thrive. But if I thrive, I will survive. Amen. Hallelujah. These are the end times. This is a time that many will follow false prophets, and because iniquity shall abound, Jesus said, amen, that the love of many will wax cold. It's that cooling down. Revival is white hot. Jesus said, that's how I want your heart. I would that you were hot or cold. The word for hot that he used is the word fervent, used in other places in the scripture from the same Greek word. For water, it means to boil. For metal, it means to heat until it comes to a glow. This is not, and he said to the lukewarm church, because thou art lukewarm, I will spew you out of my mouth. They knew exactly what he was talking about at Laodicea. They were the richest church in Asia. If you count God's blessing as all material, they had it all. In fact, they said to him, we're rich, we're increased with goods, and we don't need anything. But he said to them, and I'm going to put it in my words and then give you his words, he said to them, what you really need is a revival in your church. Amen. You become complacent. You become satisfied with all that material gain can give you, but you are not in a relationship with me. You say I'm rich, he said in Revelation chapter 3, increase with goods and have need of nothing. But I say unto you, you're poor, miserable, blind, and naked. Isn't that something to the people wearing Armani and Rolex watches? You're poor, miserable, blind, and naked. The get-rich gospel today is not about revival. It's about getting more of what you feel like you need. Ever getting, have you ever noticed this? But never having enough. Without a right relationship with God, as Billy Graham so aptly put it, he said there's a God-shaped hole in the heart of every man, woman, boy, and girl. It is so vast, so wide, and so deep. Only God can fill it. Only God can fill it. You can't fill it with mansions and cars, and you can't even marry a person who's going to fill that deep void. It's going to take God Himself to fill it. And if we're not fulfilled with Him, we're going to keep looking at Jacob's well. And John's Gospel chapter 4, a woman came to draw water. She's searching. She's already looking for something to fulfill her. And she's drawing water. She's kind of an outcast. She is an outcast among her own people, let alone the Jewish people. And in fact, a rabbi, someone who looked like a rabbi, a religion high up person in the Jewish culture, they wouldn't even give her the time of day. Wouldn't even speak to her, even to ask for something. And Jesus said, woman, give me to drink. Pull me some water out of that well. And she was shocked that he would even speak to her. And he went on to tell her, woman, you've had five husbands, and the man you're living with is not your husband. Isn't it something? Before, he wasn't jumping on her. He was trying to get her to acknowledge that what she was looking for only he could give her. Amen. He could have told her, you sorry outfit, you're on your way to hell, you should repent right now. No, he said, you've had five husbands. You're living with a man who isn't your husband. She knew that he knew. And now she is absolutely fixated on what he's going to say next. But he said, if you knew who it was, who said unto you, give me to drink, you would ask of me, and I would give you living water, and you would never thirst again. You'll come to this well over and over and over and over, because the thirst will never be quenched. This is material water. This is for a material body. But listen, for your spirit and soul, I could give you living water, you would never thirst again. He's in essence saying, I'm not condoning what you're doing, what you did, but I know why you did it. I understand what you're looking for, and you're looking for a relationship that will give you what only God can give you. Now, we all need a relationship. I've been in relationship with my wife for 63 years and counting. One hallelujah. That deserves more than one hallelujah. Somebody say, bless him, Lord. Bless her, Lord, more importantly. Amen. Hallelujah. 63 years? Are you kidding me? No, I know I don't look like it. Amen. I mean, not that I'm married. I look very married. Clarifying. Getting. But 63 years married mean I'm quite old. Amen. I'm aging. But God has been good to us. You know, the reason we're together is not because we found each other. You know, Prince Charming found the beautiful princess, and we rode away on my white stallion. Amen. My Mustang 409 Chevrolet or whatever I had. No, I didn't have none of that stuff. To my castle. You know where we spent our honeymoon? In an 8 by 28 old trailer. This was not even a qualifying as a mobile home. This is my uncle's old trailer that we spent our honeymoon. You know what we ate for our first meal together? Well, I went to get our first meal because I borrowed money from my dad, and I took his old Pontiac and 54 Pontiac, that's dating me, and we went to a burger stand. I went to a burger stand to get our first meal after our wedding I forget the name of the place. Sip and Smack. That's what it was, the Sip and Smack. It's a good name for a burger place, right? You Sip and Smack. And so we were going to sip on our giant coats. We were going to smack on a hamburger with everything on it. Amen. When you just first get married, you don't worry about onion breath. Amen. From there on, I need one more fist bump to keep me going today. Amen. We weren't worried about no Tic Tacs. Praise God. Hallelujah. I wanted to get home to my bride, have a meal together, and enjoy being alone together. Every time I went to Pamela's house, there was her little sister, and there was her brother, and we just couldn't get away from them, and her mother and her dad. Amen. But now we're married. We have each other. And I drove to Brandon from Sefner Mango area, you know, 15 mile, 12 mile, I don't know, 8 mile. Anyway, I'm sitting in the parking lot, made my order. She brought out the order, nice bag, two big Cokes, hamburgers all the way. Amen. I'm ready to go home and have the meal with my bride. Crank my car up. Threw a rod through the crankcase. Something went wrong in my engine. Oil started pouring out. Smoke started coming out. I had no cell phone. Amen. I had to walk to a payphone, see if I had a quarter left out of my change. Call, I think it was my mother, to go tell, or my, I called somebody in the family to drive over and tell Pamela that my car is broke down. I can't bring home supper. I can't even get home. And I think my mother came to get me and take me. And home happened to be this 8 by 28 trailer. it hadn't hit Pamela yet that, you know, it was time to look for the bathroom. So she starts looking in closets and corners and, where's the bathroom? And she asked me when I finally got home, and I said, she said, honey, where's the bathroom? I said, it's out there. It was an outhouse that my uncle had dug for this little camper-type trailer. So this is our honeymoon. This is our, wow, we're married now. We got a preview of what was to come. When you marry as young as we marry, it's going to be tough going. Well, we toughened up real quick. It just so happened that I had brought home, and I had brought to that trailer for the future, whatever, I had some things that I had grown in an agriculture. I had two periods of agriculture because I was filling up gaps with something easy, amen, to get enough credits to graduate. I already had all the other stuff done, and I had chorus. Can you imagine? I had chorus, amen, and I sang in the chorus, and we went out and, you know, did things with cows and shrubs and all kinds of growing things and all of that. And I had some green beans and green beans. And she knew how to cook and boil those green beans. And we had, and onions, green onions, had green beans and green onions. So our wedding night supper was those green beans that I had picked from growing and getting graded for in agriculture, and green onions. So we ate green beans and we chewed on green onions. Amen. And was happy to be together. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, I am so glad that she married me for me, because there wasn't nothing else to motivate her. She had to love this old boy in order to marry me. She didn't see my yacht, and she didn't see my fancy car. She didn't see a castle on the hill, and she stayed with me and stuck with me through the hard times, and she's still with me. Praise God. After all of that, that's the kind of love we need for the Lord. We need the kind of love that'll take us through the tough times and cause us to stay in love with Him. Let me read you this scripture, and it really fits into the end time circumstance that we're in real quick. It's out of the book of Ephesians. Wow. Therefore, he says, awake. Let me back up. For you were once in darkness, Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 8. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as the children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, proving what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it's shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light, for whatever makes manifest is light. In other words, this is not hidden stuff. This stuff we bring out. We become transparent. We're not hiding something. Amen? I'm glad God knows everything about me and everything about you, and He still loves us. I'm glad there is a grace for us in spite of the fact that we are imperfect. We have not arrived yet. Apostle Paul said it clearly, didn't he? Not that I've apprehended. I'm not there yet. Did he have experiences in the Lord? Amen. Revelations from the Lord. Wrote 13 of the 27 books of the New Testament, the Apostle Paul. Had a personal experience where he, because he didn't want pride to get a hold of him, he said, I knew a man, and all scholars of Scripture believe he was speaking of himself, because this is taking somebody else's word and experience. He said, I knew a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know, but such a one was caught up into third heaven, and I saw things. that are unutterable. He didn't write a book about what he saw. He didn't make profit off of what he saw. But he said, I've been there. And it so changed his life. Amen. He said, from that day till this day, I'm in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far, far better. Literally translated, better there than here. Aren't you glad that heaven is going to be better than here? Aren't you glad there's going to be no elections? Jesus is king. I was so happy when somebody got elected. I got to the point, elect somebody and stop it. Can't we just stop it for a while? No, it's still ongoing. Amen. Aren't you glad heaven is going to have no cancer in it? Amen. None whatsoever. No diseases in it. No death in it. No heartache. No heartbreak. Praise God. It's better there than here. And that's why he said, I've got a desire to depart. I'm ready to go home. And when the time came for him to lay down his life for the gospel, he said, I'm ready to be offered up. Hallelujah. I'm ready. I've fought a good fight. But when I get home, I ain't going to have to fight no more. The battle's already won and it's over. And we win. Praise God. The crown is waiting for me. I've fought a good fight. I have kept the faith. I've finished my course. I've done everything. See, he was single. He didn't have to. He didn't have a wife that he was going to leave alone. He didn't have children. He was going to leave alone. He was absolutely committed to the cause of Christ without anything else to take any time from him. And he said, I fought a good fight. I've kept the faith, the time of my departure, not my demise. Amen. Because when they take my head off, and that's what they did. Amen. My spirit is going to leave my body. And absent from the body, he said, is to be present with the Lord. And I'm ready to be offered up. Surely there's a crown waiting for me. And not me only, but everybody that loves his appearing. Praise God. How many would be happy for Jesus to come? And I'm not looking at hands. I don't want to know who's ready and who's not. I would be so thrilled. The only thing, the only caveat to that, or negative part of that, is there are so many people that are not ready for the coming of Jesus Christ. They're not living like he's coming soon. They've forgotten his words to us. Amen. That many will come in the last day saying, where is the sign of his coming? Where is it? We've heard it all our life. I had a booklet given to me after 50, somewhere back in the decades of pastoring. Somebody brought me a book about the coming of the Lord, and it said it was all based on scripture and numbers in the Bible and conditions in the world. And it said 88 reasons why Jesus will return in 1988. How many know he didn't come back in 1988? But there were 88 reasons why he is supposed to. Sold a whole bunch of books. Some people went completely bananas. I mean, they read that book, said he's coming back. I don't know why they went out of business, but they went to W.T. Grant and Company, and they bought some tents. They canned up a bunch of tomatoes. Their plan was to take those tents and those tomatoes. They did it on credit because they said he's going to be back before the bills come due. And I thought, okay. So they ran up this big account. They picked tomatoes down in Ruskin. There's good Ruskin tomatoes. They canned those tomatoes. They were going to take those tents and go out to somewhere in either Mississippi or Alabama to wait for his return and just be free of everything else and just be prayed up and ready for his return. Well, he didn't come back, but the bills came due. And they couldn't pay them. And another nut that didn't read the scriptures in balance had predicted what God says no man, what Jesus said no man knows, the day or the hour, but my Father only and his angels. Nobody else knows. Nobody. So when anyone predicts that, say, listen, that's not what the Bible teaches. But we can know the season. When you see these things begin to come to pass, you know, you can know His coming is near. And we're seeing those things right now. That's why the Bible says in these verses of Scripture, it tells us to be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but to be filled with the Spirit, understanding what the will of the Lord is. Amen. Redeeming the time, for the days are evil. Buying up the time, utilizing the time that we have. It takes time to assemble together. A lot of people who name the name of Christ don't think they have time, which really means they just don't want to take time. Amen. Other things are more important. It could be my rest. It could be my recreation. But it's more important than coming together this morning. I'm not talking about our little group. All churches, to some degree, are experiencing this. Without revival, more are going to experience it. Forsake not the assembling of yourself together. That's not a suggestion. That's not a suggestion. It's not something you say, So many things that the Bible is clear on, and we as Christians should be obedient to. We give a M-E-H. How many can make that sound? Yeah. I know the Bible says it, but I got to do this. I have to do that. Seriously? That's why the falling away is occurring. The love of many is cooling down. The first love is cooling off. When I first got saved, I couldn't wait to get in church. I couldn't wait to worship God. I couldn't wait to walk in as a child of God now, not as someone afraid of God. Amen. Afraid of judgment, but someone who knows He's saved and knows who my Savior is. And I have a heart to worship Him. They made me a Sunday school superintendent because of my passion for the Lord. I didn't know nothing, but I knew I wanted to do something for God, and so they made me a Sunday school superintendent. And you know what my job was? Make sure all the trash cans were emptied and ready for each class. Make sure that the pencils were all sharpened for all the desks in the Sunday school class. I sharpened pencils in the name of Jesus. They were manual. But there's no electric one could do it as fast as I did. Because I'm doing this in Jesus' name. And teacher, Sunday school teacher came to me and she said, Brother Venable, they don't need to be that sharp. Said every time I go to use it, it just breaks right off and I have to resharpen it. So I had to slow down and not sharpen it so thin. Amen. But it was all from my heart. If this is for God, I'm going all out. I'm not going to be a lukewarm person. I'm going to be a white hot, amen, red hot Christian. Praise God. So I was the superintendent. I emptied the garbage cans. I showed up at least 15 minutes early. I stayed late. Service would be over, but it wasn't over. We walked out in the front. Somebody of the pastors getting ready to go home. So I said, Pastor, I need prayer for this. I didn't get it in time inside. Can you pray? We're out in the parking lot beside State Road 574 in Plant City. And he's beginning to pray for people. And I thought, I'm not leaving. Amen. Church may be officially over, but it ain't over till it's over. This is a Pentecostal church. If you're in one today, but don't get scared. We do have a clock they put up there for me, and I am aware that time is passing. Time is valuable. Time is important, and we need to buy up the time. The Bible said, because what? The days are evil. And now we need to utilize the time we have, amen, more than we've ever utilized it. We don't have time to play church, and we don't have time to play games. This is the last day. And the Bible said, forsake not the assembling of yourself together, as the manner of some is, but much more as you see the day approaching. As you, we're supposed to be in the know. We're not supposed to be in the dark. We are the children of light. We were just told to walk here in Ephesians, to live as children of the light. We know His coming is soon. We know the signs of the time are everywhere. We know He could come at any time. We should be living our life in light of that knowledge. For you are not the children of darkness, it says in other portions of Scripture, that that day would come upon you as a thief, or as a snare. It shall come upon all the inhabitants of the earth. And Jesus told us to be careful to not get caught up in the atmosphere and attitude of the sleepy, sin-darkened world. Beware lest your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting, drunkenness, and the cares of this life. We're not talking about alcoholic inebriation. We're talking about being so involved in the things of the world that we don't have time or take time for the things of God. Overcharged. Your heart is overcharged. It's not like charging a battery too much. It means too much is going on with no or little time for the Lord. Average pastor, statistically, I deal with pastors. Many times I get to speak and share a testimony to pastors. Recently got to share with pastors in Nigeria that are being, people are being killed, our brothers and sisters in North Africa, for the faith that we sometimes take for granted and don't even practice like we should. If there's ever a time to keep the faith, it's now. If we're ever motivated, amen, to live out the faith, it's now. Redeeming the time, because the days are evil. So Jesus says, beware lest your hearts be overcharged with drunkenness, surfeiting. What is surfeiting? Banqueting. There's nothing wrong with eating and drinking iced tea. Barbecue. Come on. Amen. Last week we held a little over. I thought I heard the lion of the tribe of Judah roar. I did. But it was our sister's stomach. Amen. Growling. I said, it must be time to quit. No, I can kid with you because you're my sister in the Lord. Amen. Redeem the time. Forsake not the assembling of yourself together, as the manner of some is, but much more as you see the day approaching. We're supposed to be living like Jesus is, in fact, coming soon. Even though they're scoffing at the message, that is a sign of His soon coming. Scoffers will come in the last day saying, where's the sign of His coming? For ever since our fathers slept, ever since they died, we've heard that message, and everything remains the same as it is to this day. But the Bible went on to say, but of this one thing they are willingly ignorant of. They don't want to face the fact and the reality that everything's not going to go on and on and on just like it always has. There's going to be an interruption in man's plans. There's going to be an interruption in the time that has been allotted to come to Christ and be saved. There's going to be a holy interruption, because Jesus, in fact, is coming, and He's coming soon according to the Word of God. There's no date set, amen, but there is a season that can be and should be known by every single child of light. And we should be living differently than the world about us because of what we know. And part of that is coming together to encourage one another. The Bible said, forsake not the assembling of yourself together. And I'm glad you're here today. Say, I'm glad I'm here, because He's not going to get on to me. Look at somebody and say, I'm glad I'm here. Look at them again and say, I'm glad you're here. Praise God. We have assembled together. Amen. Say, the preacher can't nail me with that. I'm here. Glory be to God. Amen. Forsake not the assembling of yourself together as the manner of some is, but much more as you see the day approaching. Exhorting one another. To exhort means to strongly encourage. And in the context of the last times and the last days, to strongly encourage one another in right living. Amen. I want to encourage you today to get close to God. Take time for the Lord. Take time for prayer. Amen. Take time to develop a relationship with Him that you can have the joy of His presence in the midst of the high-pressured circumstances of the end times that we are under right here and right now. Amen. For in His presence is, somebody say it, you know the scripture, fullness of joy. And what happens when we're practicing the presence of God? We're taking time for that. Amen. There's fullness of joy. And at His right hand, there's pleasures forevermore. Amen. There's nothing in the world. You can try to escape through movies and, oh my Lord, social media. You can get into Facebook and what's Instagram, and we're on there, by the way. We're on Facebook, Instagram, every vehicle for the gospel that we can get into. One time we had a little, my 30 minute or less sound bites get a lot of hits. Amen. He sent me an email or something on my phone, and it said we had 666 hits on that particular soundbite. 666, the number of the Antichrist. So he said, but I'm going to go there and refresh the page. Can you say amen? I mean, we're laughing about that, but that's the number of the Antichrist, and I'd assume not my sermon soundbite be associated with him. He was going to fix it for me. But when he went to fix it and refresh the page, it had already changed to 1,400 people that had come. You know what that means? That means there's some people out there in that world of such distraction that are becoming concerned about the times that we are living. They know something is about to happen. It's an inward thing. They don't know all the prophecies. They don't know all the teachings of Scripture. But they got something, and I believe God is putting it in their heart. Something is changing. Something big is about to happen. Amen. Listen to me. It's not nuclear war. It's not this. It's not that. There's something else beyond that. Amen. And they know what a lot of Christians seem to have forgotten. Can you say amen? Something is about to happen. Something is about to happen. Well, what is that something? Amen. The Apostle Paul talked about it in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and said, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them that are asleep, dead, that have died in Christ. I want you to know something. Amen. Something is about to happen. Something is going to happen. They're not going to stay in the ground. They're not going to stay dead. And you're not going to stay a resident of planet Earth. Hallelujah. To me, that's good news. I'm glad my mama's going to get to hug me again. And I'm glad I'm going to get to hug my daddy again. I'm glad I'm going to get to hug my grandpa again on my mother's side. Went to the hospital before we closed, and he'd been in a nursing home, coal miner from Kentucky. It wasn't his daughter, but my wife is a coal miner's daughter. You ever heard the song or saw the movie? Sissy Spacek sang it better than, anyway, she was good at it. Hard drinking, hard living man, tough guy, big guy. But when he had a stroke, this guy that could take anybody on and plow a garden every year, this guy's laying in a bed, and he's getting aggravated with the fact that half of his body don't work, and he's having to be waited on with nurses, and he's frustrated and taking it out on them. And I understand through my mother that the nurses said, we really didn't want to wait on your daddy because he cussed us out every time. Anybody got any nursing background or something? You are a nurse in training? You graduated, so you're ready to be cussed.
In December,
so you're ready to be cussed out. Okay. If it comes to that, you're going to have to put up with some hard, you know, everybody's not going to say, oh, nurse, you're so sweet. No, somebody's going to say, well, you again, you know. But anyway, we'll pray for you because we need you. Hallelujah. They didn't want to wait on him. Hard man. Tough guy. But the conditions of the stroke was affecting other parts of his body, his heart in particular. He ended up in the ER in the hospital. And I went down the hall of that hospital to see him. The nurse stopped me at the door and said, he's not conscious. He's not lucid. He won't know who you are. And I said, well, you know, it doesn't matter if he knows who I am. I said, I'm just going to go in and pray with him. He's my grandfather. And she opened the door to let me go in. She just wanted to tell me, don't expect him to, you know, see who you are, respond to you in any way. He's that low. And I went in. As I walked to the foot of the bed, he raised his head up. And he said, Bobby, I'm so glad to see you. I said, Grandpa, I'm glad to see you too. I walked over by the bed. He said, I knew you would come. I've been waiting for you. I said, you've been waiting for me? He said, yeah. He said, I have. He said, I want to receive Jesus as my Savior. I don't want to go out of here without Jesus as my Savior. I said, Grandpa, I'm glad I took the time to see that old tough, hard-hearted, hard-headed guy. It takes time to do these things. I was working full-time, pastoring, working, and yet here I am in Grandpa's room, and here we are receiving Jesus as Savior. He could have went on home saved, but he didn't. He went back to the nursing home. He got better for a witness and a testimony. Because my mother went back a week later after he was returned to the, well, several days, might not have been a full week, after he returned to the nursing home. And the nurses came to her and said, what happened to your daddy? What happened to your daddy? She said, I don't know. What do you mean? Said, he's changed. He's changed. He's changed. You know what the Bible said about coming to Christ? If any man be in Christ, if it's real, if it's genuine, if it's authentic, he is a new creation. Amen. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. And in his life, it was completely evident, the change. They said, we didn't want to wait on him. We didn't want to go in the room for fear of getting cursed out. And now he's the sweetest guy. He's just the sweetest guy. My mother said, they were telling me this. I said, well, I led him to, that's before she came to the Lord. I said, I led him to the Lord. He's come to Jesus. There's a change in his heart. One thing about the new covenant before we close. Amen. God promised under the new covenant that Jesus came to establish, I will take out the heart of stone and I'll replace it with a heart of flesh. And that's what he did. And I got to see it. My mama got to see it. The nurses at the nursing home got to see it. And he became a testimony before he went home. And I can't wait to hug him when he gets home. Can you say amen? I'm glad I didn't write him off and say he's old hard-headed, hard-hearted man. Want to cuss you out over nothing. I just let him go wherever he's going. No. No, no. Jesus didn't die for him to go to hell. Jesus died so he could go to heaven. Just like he died for you and died for me. The Bible said we are to redeem the time because the days are evil. that day will not come upon you as a thief, like it's going to come upon the whole entire world, because you're the children of light. Amen. Walk, live, behave, set your values as children of light and not the children of darkness. Forsake not the assembling of yourself together, children of light. Amen. Hallelujah. As the manner of some is, but much more because of what you know and what you see, what you perceive, and what you understand. Amen. Praise God, because you know. You know. You're in the know. Behave like it. Live like it. Amen. Wouldn't it be something instead of an exodus from coming together? Amen. That there would be a coming together, a gathering together of God's children. Amen. And gathering together to seek Him who is coming soon for us. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit. Little something to quit off on. It says be filled. What if I was filled with the Spirit back in after this revival? I got the Holy Ghost. He got me, and I've been walking in that for years. See, that's the problem. The actual Greek says be being filled. Not be filled one time. I've finally made it to the spiritual elite. I've finally been able to say come tie my bow tie twice, and now I'm accepted as a Spirit-filled believer. Amen. Without the true, authentic love of Christ, sounding brass, tinkling cymbal, a distraction and a diversion instead of an indication that power, supernatural power, is in manifestation through a life. Spirit-filled church needs to be being filled with the Spirit. And filled with, another little icing on the cake, is not a one-time event. And it is not only not a one-time event, it is an ongoing event. And it is something that expresses the Lordship of Jesus in every child of God. Because it means filled with and controlled by. Everybody say controlled by. If you and I are not controlled by the Holy Spirit, we're out of control. We got one come on and a holy murmur. Can I get an amen? You're either controlled by the Holy Spirit or someone is. Your flesh is in control. The devil is in control. Why is speaking in tongues such evidence that God is now in control? Because the tongue itself is uncontrollable without God's help. Amen? You know what the Bible said about the tongue? If you got one, don't know. I was going to ask you to pull it out, but you dirty fingers, you'd have to go put something on your tongue and splash it around. You don't have to grab your tongue, but listen to this. The tongue is an unruly evil set on fire of hell. Well, yeah, let's get it all in there. Full of deadly poison. In other words, it's governed by the flesh. And Paul said, in my flesh, there's no good thing. That's why the Bible said there's none good. No, not one. Not according to God's standard. It's full of deadly poison. It's set on fire of hell, and no man can tame it. So what was the first evidence of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost? When they begin to speak in utterances given by the Spirit and not their own flesh. Hallelujah. Amen. And it's an expression of who is in control now. If you're controlled, if I'm controlled by the Holy Spirit, Jesus is Lord. He's my master. If I'm not, then I'm in control. And if I'm in control, you better look out. You say, you're old, I know, but you still better look out. You don't know what I got in my pocket. Amen? I don't want to be around somebody that's out of control. I want to be somebody that's controlled by the Holy Spirit, expressing spirit filled by being controlled by. It's not just what I say, it's what I do. If I'm controlled by the Spirit, the sons of God are led, controlled by, one and the same. Led by what? By the Spirit of God. God won't lead you to hurt people purposely. God won't lead you to try to get revenge on somebody. God will never lead you to that. Vengeance is mine, I'll repay, saith the Lord. It's not yours. And if you're controlled by the Spirit, you won't seek that. But if you're not, then you'll lose control. Has anybody ever lost it? I have. I'm only controlled by the Spirit to the degree that I'm yielded to the Spirit. Amen. I worked for Tampa Electric for how many years? 5 years with Tampa Electric before I went into full-time ministry. I remember one day it got tough out on a line crew because, I just about lost it that day. I prayed for my crew. Every time we went out on the job, I prayed for their salvation. But this day, they had needled me. They came in, some of those linemen came in that I was, you know, kind of a servant to as the equipment operator, setting poles and hanging transformers and all of that kind of stuff, watching them and sending up what they needed. And I remember they would come in on a Monday, and they had partied all weekend, and they were hungover, and they hadn't slept good, and it was Monday, and they were up there in all of the heat that Florida has, and they were uncomfortable. Sometimes we couldn't get a bucket truck into where we're working, and a man that weighed over 200 pounds had to use those cleats and a belt and work his way up a pole and stand there until his legs are killing him. One guy weighed about 250 pounds. He's up there on those cleats. You have to wear a gauntlet that guards you against the voltage in case you make a brush all the way to the elbow. And then you have to wear a leather glove over the gauntlet, and you have to wear a long sleeve denim shirt in case you make any brush contact, you've got a chance of surviving. It's so serious, one man didn't, and it was my job to check. I'd roll up that rubber glove that came up to here that was good for 20,000 volts. But if there's a pinhole in it, just a pinhole, with the sweat of the hand, make that pinhole contact, that electricity will find a path and go to ground. And so part of my job was to roll them up every morning before we went out. Roll it up until it's filled with air because they were yellow on the inside, black on the outside. And see if I could see any yellow anywhere. And if I did, disregard that one, say that goes in the garbage. And get a brand new one because that man can make a contact. You know why they made us do that? Because just before I went to work for them, a man didn't check, or whoever was responsible didn't check the glove. And they went up. He's working. He believes he can touch this because it's good for 20,000 volts. The lines we were working were 7,620. He had room to spare. But there was a little hole in the tip of that glove, and it had come through. Whatever had pierced that, it pierced the leather glove over the rubber glove. And it made contact. And when it did, with that index finger, it came through his body and it came out his heel. It blew his heel off when it came out. He survived. It didn't kill him, but it took out his heel. I don't know if they had to take his foot all the way off, probably. Because there's nothing to build back to. And I thought, you know, some of these little things, little shortcuts, little things we don't take time. Say time with me. There's a point in all of this. We took time to make sure there's not even a pinhole. Not even a little pinhole. And when we get lazy and we get impatient and we feel it's not that important that I take the time. I rode a motorcycle for 3 years. And I was told by other cyclists, it's not the new guy that's being real careful that has the most wrecks on him. It's not the guy that rides the bottle rocket on the interstate and you're driving at 75 miles an hour and he passes you like you're sitting still and does a wheelie on the way. He's young and stupid. Amen. When they pass me, I say, I pray I don't see it if it happens. Teeth, hair, and eyes all over the interstate. That's not a pretty sight. And I've seen people killed. When we quit taking time for those little things. What kind of foxes spoil the vine? The big ones that come in and just eat the grapes? No, the little ones that in play will just shake and tear up the vine and unroot it. So it's the little foxes that spoil the vine, Jesus said. The little foxes. It's those little things that we don't want to deal with. And we just let it go and let it go and let it go. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit. Understanding what the will of the Lord is. Here it comes. Redeeming the time. For the days are evil. The church ought to be more vibrant, more committed. I'm talking about the body of Christ. More desirous of serving God now than we've ever been. In light of His soon coming and our standing before Him. Can you say amen? We ought to be more committed to each other in the body of Christ. Once again, I'm so glad that you're here today, fulfilling the Word of God. Come together, take the time, make the time, redeem the time, buy up the time. Because one day, time will give way to eternity. In the book of Revelation, John said, I saw an angel. He put one foot upon the earth. He put one foot upon the sea. And you know what his declaration was? Time shall be no more. Time has run out. Time has run out. And now, eternity has taken the place of time. You're going to live. Thank God if you're a Christian, time is going to run out for you. As far as this time-governed world. And you're going to go into eternity. And you're going to live with God in eternity. Everlasting life is yours to claim. Everlasting life. Never-ending life. Life with no time limit. Hallelujah. As I get close to 80, I don't know how you felt when you got near 80, but he's 6 years beyond 80. He looks pretty good to me. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Amen. But as I approach 80... How close are you to 80? I'll be 79 in January. I'm getting close to 80. You know what I'm going to do for my 79th birthday? Absolutely nothing. Amen. I don't care. That's my last 70th. What you going to do? You're going to go skateboarding or roller skating? You're going to go jump out of an airplane to make yourself feel young? You're going to get your Harley and and paste some fake hair on my chest and leave my shirt open 3 buttons and try to act young again? No, I'm gonna testify that the Lord has been good to me, because the devil has tried to take me out since I was a baby. Hallelujah. He tried to kill me in the womb, but he failed, because God had a plan and God had a purpose. Hallelujah. He tried to take me out in elementary school with leukemia, but he failed because God had a plan and God had a purpose. Can you say amen? 11 years ago, he tried to take me out with a stroke, but he failed because God had a plan and God had a purpose. Can you say amen? I don't know about you, but I love church. I love getting together with God's people. I love to worship my King and my Sovereign and my Savior. Hallelujah. I love investing time in the presence of God. Amen. It's not encroaching on my recreational time, my rest up time. Hallelujah. Listen, this is time well spent if we understand the times and we're into redeeming that time for the Lord. Did you get something out of this? Amen. So did I. Let's stand to our feet today. Glory to the Lord. Glory to the Lord. Father, I thank you. I praise you. I thank you and I praise you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Where's my little sister? She has been requesting this for 3 or 4 months. Amen. But we're led the Spirit. But I believe that I have found what Jesus was talking about to the woman at the well. Amen. I believe living water because I'm experiencing it. I am satisfied with Jesus. I'm satisfied with His watch care over me. I'm satisfied with His provision for me. Amen. I am. I'm satisfied with a car that I don't have to jump start to go home in. That's really a blessing to me. I'm glad I got 4 tires that don't look like they're about to pop. Amen. I'm thankful every time I fill up with gas. I drove a car for 3 years. I was afraid to fill it up, even if somebody blessed me so I could. I figured it's got to be rusty from a quarter of a tank. That's all I ever bought. Amen. Go in. How much you? Back in the day, a dollar would bring you 4 gallons plus. I went and got a dollar's worth at a full service station. How much? What can I do for you, sir? I said, a dollar's worth. I did that so often, the guy come out and he checked my windshield wipers. He checked my oil. He checked air in my tires. He did all that for a dollar's worth of gas. One time he come out and said, what can I do for you today? I said, a dollar's worth. He said, where are you going? Miami? I said, no, no, I'm going to pick up my wife. And amen. All I need is a dollar's worth. I'm so grateful to be a Christian today. Amen. Brother Venable, you're going to be ready for the coming of the Lord. What are you going to be doing? Whatever, amen, I can for Jesus. Whatever I can for my family. And by the way, when I said I'm a caregiver to my wife, to my son, to my family for years, to my dog, rescue dog, to my bird that finally gave up the ghost and I don't have to worry about her anymore. Amen. And they said, you're forgetting something. I said, what's that? I said, you're a caregiver to your flock. You're a caregiver to your flock. I want you to know I care about you. I care about your soul, and I care about your life, and I care whether or not, amen, that you're able to not get caught up in the falling away, but you're caught up in seeking God till He come. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. So there's honey in the rock for me and you today, right? You can go back and stand with Mama if you want to. It's kind of hard standing up here and everybody looking at you. Praise God. How many have tasted and you know the Lord is good? You know that He's good because you have had an experience with Him and in Him. Well, let's sing about it in closing today. Hallelujah. Or at least agree with it.